Hey, today is February 24th, 2005, and I'm here again with Stuart Zog of Union. And we had sort of finished off around the time of graduation, but wanted to go back and talk about a couple of things from your growing up days. And one of those was the time that you were snowed in. Can you tell me more about that?
I should have mentioned that back in Mount Glen when we were snowed in that one winter, and we hauled the Model T out on the bobsleigh to Hunter's Road. The reason we had to haul it out was because Dad was milking quite a number of cows, and we had to get the cream to market, so we had to haul it out. And that storm, or that snow, lasted for 7 weeks that we were snowed in like that. And then another, just to retract a little bit, soon after we came to Union, there was a kind of a plague of magpies and crows and squirrels. And the grocery store uptown would pay us, I want to say 2 cents, but it may have been just 1 penny an egg, for all the magpies and crow eggs we could bring in. And so us three kids would crawl around through the brush out by the creek, and there were a lot of nests, and we'd get as many eggs as we could without breaking our dumb necks. And we'd take them to town and buy candy bars. That was our favorite treat with that money. And Mr. Good Bar was our favorite candy bar. And Dad would pay us a penny for each squirrel tail, and he gave us a bunch of traps, and we were trap squirrels, and so we were just raking in lots of pennies for those items.
So you had found a way as a young boy to start your own business almost.
Make money,
there. So then once you graduated from high school, we'll kind of go forward again now. What happened from there?
I graduated in 1946.
That's from Union High School?
From the Union High School. I think there were 26 in our class. And soon after that, the next year, I was deferred. I didn't have to go to the draft. I was deferred. And so the next year I went to Holland and Belgium for 2.5 years as a LDS missionary. And then came home, and just in time for the Korean War. And I went in December in the Army. I got engaged to my future wife just before I went.
And what's her name?
Her name was Josephine Allen. And I was gone 2 years. I took gunner's training in a tank in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and in different places. And when I got out 2 years later, Josephine was down in Hood River teaching school. So we decided to wait till the following June when school was out to get married. And so we were engaged 2.5 years or something like that. And then we got married that June in 1953.
Was Josephine from this area?
We rode the same school bus, in fact. Mm-hmm. She lived a little bit further out, down along Catherine Creek, on a dairy farm. And we had a dairy farm then also. We milked about 35 cows. So we both know what farming was like.
And then did you settle in the area with your wife?
We built a little house on the farm and intended to settle down and go into farming, but we did for about 3 years. My GI Bill was going to run out in 3 years, and my wife and my brother got together and pushed me into Harvard on the Hill over here on the Grand. And so I started school in engineering And during the summers, while I was going to school, during the summer, I worked for a Massey Ferguson dealership, tractor, combines, and things, as a mechanic and a service repairman, besides helping with the farm, milking cows at morning and night. And then...
When did you find time to study?
That was a problem. I got up at 4:30 in the morning to milk cows, and then came home from school and went to do chores, and did some studying afterwards. I averaged 4.5 hours of sleep a night for those 2 years, and then it continued on. We transferred to Corvallis, Oregon State, for the next 2 years, and I worked in the heating plant down there from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight at $1.21 an hour in order to pay the rent. And there again, we got to, we get about between 4 and 5 hours of sleep a night, depending on how much studying I had to do. And so we worked our way through there. The GI Bill wouldn't quite pay all of our expenses that we had to, earn a little bit of money to help pay the rent. And at $1.21 an hour, you had to work a lot of hours to get it done.
I wanted to ask you real quick about the time during the draft and then after that when you did go into the 3-1. Mm-hmm. What was the attitude in the community about that time with a lot of the young kids being shipped off? And
several of my classmates quit school and went into World War II there toward the end. And I don't know exactly all the attitude, but there was a lot of kids my age and in that neighborhood there that had to go into the service. And some volunteered and some were drafted.
So it was a pretty noticeable effect on the community.
It did have, yeah. There was a lot of people were gone. And of course there was a lot of demand for, there were two or three sawmills in town and a flour mill, and there was lots of places to work. But kids were gone.
So who filled those jobs?
Oh, they, somehow they got by. Mm-hmm. Once the earlier kids went into the World War II, then they were getting back out about, you know, for the time the Koreans started. And so there was kind of a rotation there that they were able to get things done.
Mm-hmm. Did you and your wife have children?
The time we got to Corvallis, we had one, and then we had one at midterm finals or midterm test. That's a poor time to have a kid. Not recommended. And then we ended up having 6 children, 5 girls and 1 boy.
Wow. Nice family.
We have 8 grandchildren. We have 7. One was killed by a drunk driver. And then we've just learned recently that our youngest daughter is going to give us a set of twins.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
Next summer. So we'll end up with about 10 grandchildren.
Did you have any other twins in the family?
No. She had to take
fertility
pills. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's probably why.
Yeah. So when did you decide to sort of settle in back in Union County? Seems that you had been gone for some time.
After we graduated from Corvallis, we graduated in the winter. I had to go an extra term because when I traded or changed schools, the curriculums weren't tied together, so I had to go an extra term at Corvallis. I graduated there in the winter of 1959 and took employment with the U.S. Forest Service in Enterprise on the 1st of January of 1960. And we worked in Enterprise for about 6 years. We worked in Baker for about a year. And then we went to Omak, Washington. We were there 11 years. And then we came back to Laguna in 1977 and settled here in our present home.
What did that entail, that the work with the Forest Service?
I was a civil engineer. I did a lot of surveying, a lot of designing of roads. And we built a lot of bridges and lookout towers and campgrounds and mostly in the construction phase of timber sale roads, lots of timber sale roads. That was my primary duties. Retired from that job in 1985 with 26 years, I think, of employment.
Mm-hmm. At the time you were employed in that line of work, was it sort of a booming business?
It was a booming business. We had a lot of work to do. We were really busy. There was lots of logging. I fought a lot of fires. I had some exciting experiences on the fire line a few times.
Can you tell me about any of those?
Well, the one that was really most interesting, I guess, was they sent us to the coast one day. And right after supper, about 5 o'clock, they sent us hitchhiking up into the mountains, and we hiked till midnight. And then the fire chief gave me a flashlight and radio, and he says, "Go find that fire and see where it is, and keep us posted." Well, it wasn't long. I could hear it, and I walked toward the sound, and all of a sudden there was a real horrible roar, and that fire went past me so fast I couldn't really see it. Just a terrible rate of speed. And it was headed directly toward the camp where these other guys were, so I, of course, radioed and warned them, and they got out of the way. But it was a little bit spooky.
I bet it was.
The last fire I was on, I was over in Hell's Canyon, way up on the point of a rock, and I could see the boaters down on the river, playing around in the rivers and the boats, and the borate planes would come right down low over the hill to drop the borate, and it was hot as a dickens. I didn't have any shade. I was standing on a rock with a radio and watching these people play in the water down on the lake. Terrible.
Now, did your job require a lot of office time? Or were you out in the field more than in the office?
Winter was mostly office time. That was design time, designing the roads, designing the projects, campgrounds. And then as soon as construction could get started in the spring, then we were in the field all the time. And worked out in the field. And then with the construction, with the surveying and different type things.
Who were your primary partners in this? Would it be local contractors, or was it all government workers?
The timber sale people, of course, were contractors. They contracted the timber sales. And then I was on one of the first that paved the Grand Ronde River Road up to Tony Bay Meadows. That was a contract where some people out of Portland had the contract. And we worked with them and watched to make sure they did it right. And so it was kind of a variety of, we did quite a bit of maintenance work on our campgrounds and lookout towers and our buildings. We did quite a bit of our own maintenance on those.
Mm-hmm.
And some road maintenance we did.
Did you find the process to be any different here in Union County than it was in larger areas?
No, it was similar. Quite everything kind of ran about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Today I understand it's not quite that way, but at that time it was. So.
Now, once you returned, you went back to farming?
When we came back to Le Grand, transferred back to Le Grand, I was in the, there was a an engineering unit in LeGrand that I worked at, and so I went back to farming at night.
Back on the family farm?
Back on the family farm. I ran the farm at night and worked for the Forest Service during the day. I kept busy.
Sounds like you've never had a problem keeping busy.
Not really.
Yeah. So were you in the dairy business again, or?
My folks sold the dairy when we moved to Washington. There were some big changes coming in inspections and equipment that you had to have when you had a grade A dairy and sold milk. And those upgrades were going to be so expensive that Dad just divided the budget and sold the cows. And so we didn't milk the cows anymore, just farmed mostly wheat and hay.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about that process? At the time when you came back, how was that working?
On the farm?
Mm-hmm.
When I started running it then when we came back, we kind of got out of the haying business, and I would seed half of the farm in wheat and summer fallow, half of it, and then the next year trade.
And summer?
Summer fallow.
Okay.
That's, you don't plant anything, you leave it bare and you work it every so often to keep the weeds down.
Okay. And what's the purpose of doing that?
It lets it rest. It lets the ground rest and build up with the natural elements, and then you'll get, and when you seed it that fall, the fall wheat, then the next year you get a lot better crop than if you farmed it every year.
Mm-hmm.
That rest makes quite a difference. And so it wasn't all that difficult. It was just farming and mostly on tractors.
What sort of tractors were you running?
Old, cheap old wrecks. No, we had at that time I had two gas tractors and a diesel. They weren't real big rigs, but they got the job done.
Mm-hmm. Did you do this work by yourself or with the family?
I was mostly by myself. I had a cutoff time at night when I would quit, and so I could get enough rest to go work during the day. Dirt finally got to me, the dust and the dirt, and I finally had to quit the farming and later.
Mm-hmm. So then you retired from the Forest Service?
I retired in 1980, December 31st, 1985, with 26 some years of time. And that winter that I retired, a train wrecked up in Piles Canyon, coming down the canyon with a load of corn. Quite a large train. And so, as railroad custom is, you got to get those cars out of the way, and they poked holes in a lot of those cars and let the corn run out, so they could get the railroad cars out of the way to clear the railroad cut. And a man from Elgin came in and got the contract to clean up the corn, and he wanted some truck drivers. So it was middle of the winter and nothing to do, so I went up and drove truck, hauled corn until they got the project cleaned up.
How long did that take to clean up a mess like that?
It took up for 3-4 months.
Really?
We hauled the corn down the hot lake, and when we dumped the corn, the wind would blow the dust away, and it would clean it a little bit, the man couldn't get the little rocks out, and so when he sold the corn to the dairy farmers, those little rocks got in the cow's teeth, and so he had to take the corn back, and it was just used for fertilizer that was scattered, and he ended up losing money. In fact, we was even taken to court. I had to go help testify in court what went on. That wasn't very pleasant, but it was an experience.
Did you return to work after that?
Well, after that, that next spring, another neighbor was starting up a ready-mix plant just out of Union, about 2 miles or three. A little small ready-mix plant, and had dump trucks and various pieces of equipment, backhoes and loaders and things. And he had a little rock crusher and crushed his own gravel for his road work. And he found out I was driving truck for that corn job, and so he came and wondered if I'd go to work for him driving truck. And it was a kind of a part-time job. I still had my farming to do, but this was as call as needed. And so I worked for him for about 3 years, hauling concrete all over the county and gravel and working bulldozer jobs and different things. And did that for about 3 years as a part-time. He later wanted a full-time worker, and I didn't want to go full-time, so then I quit, and he got a full-time job.
Do you think it's common for people, especially in this area, to work after retirement?
Yeah, there was I didn't have any trouble with getting a job. It seemed like it was just things were available. I don't know whether it was because of some experience I had or whether what it was, but I didn't have any trouble. After I quit him, another neighbor had a fleet of 14 semi-trucks. He wanted me to come and work part-time for him, so I went to work long hauling with 18 and 26 wheelers, and got to work far away, California and Wyoming. And this was a part-time job also, but in 2 years I logged a 500,000 miles long hauling, and that doesn't count the short hauling around where you didn't have to fill out a log.
Do you attribute that motivation to return to work to economic reasons, or was it kind of your work ethic along the years?
It was kind of both. We had a couple of kids in college, and that extra money kind of came in helpful for them, and then I just had to keep doing something. I couldn't just sit and do the farm in the summertime and nothing in the wintertime, and so it was a combination of just needing something to do and making a little extra income.
Can you tell me more about your experience raising your children in this area?
The school, of course, is small here, and they rode the bus to school, except one of them didn't want to ride the bus, so she rode her bicycle. But as far as education goes, they all seemed to get a good education. They all attended at least 1 year of college, and a couple of them went on to finish. And most of them have pretty good jobs right now. Mm-hmm. But we were pretty satisfied with the schooling that we got here. And the neighbors and things.
Did you stay in this area because of family, or were there other factors that kept you here?
Well, my wife's family lived here. My family lived here. And we liked the area, and we grew up here, and it just seemed like the place to kind of settle down.
What do you like most about it?
Oh, it's... there's not a lot of traffic, not a lot of people. There's a lot of places to go and do things in the mountains, and a lot of fishing and streams. And we don't have the highfalutin
museums and zoos and all that kind of stuff around, but we enjoy the good outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Did you do a lot of hunting and camping in this area?
We've done a lot of hunting and a lot of camping and a lot of fishing. My dad was a very ardent hunter, and so he took us kids as we got old enough to go, about 12 years old, I think it was, we started.
Did you carry on those same traditions with your children?
Yeah, I did. Well, I only had one boy, so...
The girls weren't into hunting and fishing?
They didn't do so much hunting and fishing, but we did do some camping. We'd backpack into some of the high lakes, and the girls, we had good times doing that, and had a lot of fun just kind of being out. And we had a little camper trailer, and we'd spend the weekends out in the woods and having fun.
Were you involved in any other social activities in the community? Clubs, organizations, church?
We, of course, are active in our church. I spent a four-year term on the city council, the Union City Council. Let's see. Other than that, we haven't. Or if there's a need for somebody to help move or things like that, we help people do that. But I think probably the term on the city council was the most active I was in the community.
Can you tell me more about that experience?
Well, it was a good experience. I was on the city council, and then I was also on the planning. My position on the council involved in working with the planning commission. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go to their meetings too, planning. Somebody wants to build a house here or something there, and you're pretty probably familiar with what a planning commission does. So it was an interesting 4 years.
Is this something you were recruited for, or what, just had an interest because of your line of work?
Right after the elections one fall, a person was elected to the council, and he refused to register to vote. And so they asked for volunteers. Like a dummy, I went up and volunteered and got the job. But I didn't run after that. My wife's health wasn't all that great, and so I decided not to do more than one term.
Was this a very politically motivated position, or did a lot of that happen in those meetings?
Well, there was a lot went on. We built the main highway through Union, the sidewalks and things, so that activity.
Did you have any opposition to that program?
No.
To developing the highways and the sidewalks, or were people ready for that and excited?
They were pretty much ready. There were things that were taking place that some people didn't quite like the way it was going, and so we had to, work with that. They started, that's when the first involvement came in the golf course. We started that program, and drilling, let's see, we didn't drill a well, but we did some, a lot of sewer work, and was pretty busy involved in some sewer projects.
Mm-hmm.
Our pipes are so old in this town that they need quite a bit of repair. So it was an interesting time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a time of a lot of change and a lot of growth in the area.
Well, it seemed like a lot of growth, but we approved a number of housing permits and mobile home permits and some businesses, some home business type things. But then during the same time, we lost the sawmills and we lost the grain elevator and
while I was trucking for Hatch, I hauled most of the one sawmill to Boise that was rebuilt down there. So it came and went.
Mm-hmm. You were involved in some other activities for fun, I would think it was fun. Can you tell me something about that?
When I went to school, well, in my senior year of high school, Dad bought us an old Model T coupe. And so my two brothers and I, that last year we took it to school. And in the wintertime, it was so cold, and those old cars wouldn't hold liquid in the radiator very long, so we'd go out and one of us would lift up a back wheel and put a block under the axle, another and pour a bucket of hot water in the radiator, and then one would get on the starter and one on the crank, and we'd get it started. Then we'd dash in the house and eat our breakfast. The three of us come dashing back out, and two jump in, and one would push it off the block, and away we'd go. And when we'd get to school, we'd have to drain the radiator in a bucket so it wouldn't freeze. And I guess that was kind of where I got interested in the old Model T. After we got married, I had an old Model T pickup for a while. And then when we were up in Washington, I had the opportunity to buy a couple of old junkers. They were pretty rickety. And I didn't have a garage, and so I worked on them out in the open and come home from work and go out and tinker. And I had two of them running up in Washington. We'd go to the parades and we won quite a few prizes. And then when we got back down here, why, every now and then I'd have an opportunity to pick up an old car and rebuild it. Until now we have seven of them. And just...
Have you done all that work yourself on the seven?
Two or three of them. I haven't done a great lot. The people wanted to get rid of them, and so I got them for a pretty good price. And about three of them I didn't do a great lot of work, but still took a lot of time in the work that I did do, putting tops on them and new seats and repairing the engines and front ends and things.
How much time do you spend on that now?
I spent all last winter I spent out in the garage rebuilding one, putting a new top on it, and quite a bit of mechanical work on it. But this winter I didn't do much. I was kind of caught up, but I have quite a bit to do now. I've got two motors to overhaul, and so there's some work to do. My kids like to drive them in the parades, stock show parades, so we have a pretty good time. I go to Enterprise for Chief Joseph Days and the Cove Cherry Parade, and Ambler and Island City.
Are there still prizes involved?
They give ribbons anymore. I've got a big handful of ribbons hanging on the wall out there. I haven't joined that car club in the Grand. They want me to join with them, but I just haven't done that yet. I just kind of solo on my own. We had five of them in the stock show parade one year. Kids drive them.
Mm-hmm.
Kids like to drive them, even the girls.
Do they?
Yeah.
So what do you have in your collection now, at present?
The oldest one is a 1915 sports model. It has a brass radiator and brass lights, and that's the favorite one of the grandkids. They'll probably fight over that one when I'm gone. And then there's a 1921 ton truck, a 1917 little roadster, they call it a roadster, 1923 roadster, a 1926 touring car, and a 1926 coupe. and a 1927 pickup. That's the same age as me.
Now, did you acquire most of those locally?
No. I got two of them out of Portland and one out of Washington. And I think those were the furthest ones when I went to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Got one out of Elgin. And then a couple of them were just parts that I put together and made cars and had enough parts to make them. Mm-hmm. So, but I get them fairly reasonably priced. And of course, you have to buy new tires and new tops and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Is it hard to get parts for those cars?
No, it's, there are a number of places that have catalogs. There, a lot of things are accessible. They're expensive, but they're accessible. Mm-hmm.
Do you plan to grow your collection then?
I've got to quit. I don't have any more room. So I'm going to knock on wood or cross my fingers and say I'm quitting. But I'm going to keep them. I've got one for each kid. And that's, they'll end up getting them some, I don't know what they'll do with them. But
mm-hmm. Do they have to be stored inside in a garage?
Only if we have a certain insurance on them. I don't have that type of insurance yet, so they, but I have them inside, but they're not,
mm-hmm.
it's not required. They're all licensed and they all run.
Mm-hmm. Is it any different, the licensing requirements for an older car like that?
An older car like that, you buy a lifetime license. If you just want to run and drive to parades and shows, if you don't take it out on the highway every day, you can buy a one-time license. And I think the license is $25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you've got to get a title and all that. But, and you don't have to have insurance to drive them to parades. But if you want to drive them to the post office every day, then you got, then you must get a regular license and insurance.
Mm-hmm. How difficult is it to find titles for some of those old cars?
The if they don't come with a title, if you get a bill of sale, is generally accepted. I've had a problem or two with DMV, but we've worked around it and finally got it solved. But
mm-hmm.
they're a little bit fussy.
How does the community react to your collection?
Oh, I get calls mm-hmm. every now and then. Somebody wants a ride or wants to come and look at them. And,
mm-hmm.
and you drive on downtown, the people wave. It, they seem to enjoy seeing them around. We have our local grassroots thing, and so I take some of them down there for that show.
Do you think it gives people a sense of the good old days?
Probably. The old lady I gave a ride here last summer, she that was the first car she ever drove, and she was so excited. She wanted to just look at them, but I gave her a ride anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty thrilled. She was 90 years old.
Oh, that's great.
So, an attorney came over one Sunday, and we from LeGrand and gave him a ride. And he was interested in wanting to find an old car. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work, but it's been something it's been enjoyable and it's been fun, and the kids have had a good time. So for whatever it's worth, it's been fun.
As you kind of have reflected back on your time in Union County, are there memories or moments that have kind of been brought back to your attention that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I just the other day I made a walk around the loop here, and where we live here now on this area was a prune orchard, and on the other side of Miller Lane, my folks in the fall would rent a couple of the neighbors' fields that they had grain in,
and Dad would turn the hogs out. And I'd go over here along Miller Lane, and I had a board that I set up on a fence post, nailed to a fence post, and I'd sit on that fence post watching those hogs so they wouldn't try to get through the fence on the Miller Lane. And then at the end of the day, I'd drive them back down home. And the next day, as they worked their way up this way eating, I'd have to get up here about noon and sit on that fence. I went walk by the other day, just kind of daydreaming. Quite often, something will happen that you see or calls your attention back to back when.
Sounds like you have a lot of really great memories from the area.
Working with the Forest Service, I had to maintain the lookout towers that are here, and did a lot of road maintenance. I've been all over the whole forest, putting her everywhere. And then when I worked for this contractor, the Readymix man, we hauled concrete and gravel all over this county, just lots of places. Things kind of come back to you.
Mm-hmm. So you're very comfortable here in the whole area, really?
Yeah. You bet. We like it. The wind gets to us once in a while. But
I'm surprised the wind hasn't blown you away out here.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there are things, since we've been interviewing, that we've missed that you want to share?
Oh, golly. The guy could talk forever, I suppose, on different things that happened. We've seen several trains that have been blown over by the wind down at Hot Lake. And various things. This county used to be full of smoke every summer. The forest fires were bad in those early years, and it was smoky from all summer long with the forest fires. Where the freeway goes up Lad Canyon, that was one of our popular hunting areas. Deer and elk used to be plenty of them up there when they built the freeway, and that kind of changed things.
Were you disappointed when the freeway came
down? Yeah, that was kind of, but it had to be, I guess. Yeah.
Were you disappointed because it meant change, or disappointed that it would bring more people?
Actually, it was kind of a blessing because it got the traffic out of Union. You know, the main road to Baker was through Union, and so it helped there. But it did ruin kind of some nice hunting country. It had to be. We had to have that. We couldn't handle the traffic now going the old route. It's progress, but and thank goodness it's over there on the highway and not here.
Do you suppose that would have changed things for you if it had come through Union? Would that have changed things?
Hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. Freeway was proposed to kind of follow the railroad around, so it would have been closer, but that was discarded, and then they decided to go through that canyon. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I don't think I asked you at all about the historic Union Hotel. Can you tell me anything about that?
As a kid, that was kind of a place to go visit. It was kind of an interesting old building. One night as a prank, a high school prank, when we were in our senior year, some of us got in the hotel and got up on the roof and walked all the way around the ledge of the roof and had a big time. Got out of there before we got caught. But right next to the hotel used to be the
Roxy Theater, movie theater. And it was quite a popular place, lots of good movies, and that was a good place to go to see a movie. Since I failed my piano lessons when I was a kid and my guitar lessons, my mother made me take tap dancing lessons. And I used to tap dance on the stage at the old Roxy Theater in Union. How embarrassing. But in the old school, of course the school was, high school was a jail, a courthouse and a jail. And that's quite a historical building.
Was that a very large jail? Did it
The back where the heating plant is, it wasn't that big, but the bars are still on the windows and in the heating area there where the jail was. When I first started school in Union, it was in an old rock-type building, a double-story building. It had a big ding-dong bell on the top of it. And it took 2 years before the new schoolhouse was built. That was a pretty historical building.
Mm-hmm.
And then where the school bus barns are, the Levi Brothers Mercantile, and where the Union Grocery now is, was kept the Union hearse there, and it was a kind of a variety store. My dad bought the old Union hearse and we made a wagon out of it. All the dumb things.
Oh, really?
I still have the horn in my Bronco out here, 1917 Dodge.
What did you do with it once you made a wagon out of it?
We made a wagon out of Paul Hayward. Junk the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
Scrap. They were dumb.
Do you feel like you still have a lot of connections here in Union, a lot of old friends, and do you still recognize most people when you're walking down the street?
There are a lot of people I don't know, but there are still a few classmates. Half a dozen or so of us graduated together are still here.
Do you still get together for a reunion?
We do. Our 50th, I think, was the last one we went to that we had here, and we had a pretty good crowd. And then there's the old-timers, you know, all the neighbors around, you know most of them, especially the farmers, you know, when all the farmers around are dead at one time. And of course, that's changed through the years. But we do have quite a few friends. It's pretty nice.